Abukar Siniyoko sits in the shade of his carpenter's workshop drinking green tea. Usually his 20 workmen are busy with the big heavy machinery, crafting furniture and handmade goods for customers all over Bamako. Not today. In the last few months, Abukar has let 18 of his men go. There just isn't enough work coming in.
We work here. We do beautiful work. We're skillful. We do many things and can create a lot of things, but we don't have the means to buy the wood.
He's worried about unpaid electricity bills, school fees for his 12 children, and has no idea when or if the next order will come in.
It isn't easy. School isn't being paid. This month they might be sent home because I haven't been paying fees for 2 months. Since the beginning of term, there is no money, so they will come back home and sit here.
After the March coup, minority Tuareg separatists, nomadic herders who have fought for independence for more than 50 years, took control of the north of the country. They were soon moved out by al-Qaeda-linked rebel groups who swept through the vast cattle-herding desert, accused of looting, raping, and imposing strict forms of Sharia law. Thousands of people have fled, losing their jobs and their livelihoods. And even those who were not uprooted by the conflict face a difficult time. The government has written off as unrecoverable more than a quarter of the targeted revenue for this year, slashing spending plans.
The crisis in the north is causing lots of problems here. We the people, with lots of children, when there's a crisis in our country, we the fathers, it causes a lot of problems because the business is not working. And what I wish today is for the northern crisis to be over. Really, that's what I wish for.
In front of Abukar's workshop on the busy main road, only two of the tailors at the clothing store have come in today. There isn't enough work for the others. It's the wedding season, usually the busiest time of year for tailors. But with less money circulating throughout the country, people have less to spend. And if people aren't spending, businesses like this one suffer.
Yeah, so if my business is not working, it will affect my own family.
Dalla Sininta is the owner. She used to go to New York and Paris to buy clothes and jewellery to sell in her shop, keeping up with the latest trends. But she doesn't have the money to do that anymore.
In Africa, you have to support your parents. So if the business is not working, so it will be a shame. I can say a shame and a pity for me.
Dalla runs three businesses. The clothing shop, Top de Elegance, a small taxi service, and a restaurant, Fast Food Dalla. We walk next door to the restaurant. It only opened in February, a month before the coup. Business was going well last year, so Dalla invested her money here, her third business. Something, she says, she now regrets. It's lunchtime, but there isn't a single customer at any of the neatly arranged tables. The carefully placed orange tablecloths remain untouched. Dalla reaches for her account books to show me the decline in customers since she opened.
You see? What they paid me, I write everything, everything. For example, this is what I have this month.
So these are the number of customers.
Mm-hmm.
So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Mm-hmm. The cafe was bringing in around $50 a day, but now she says it makes barely enough to pay the bills and her two staff.
The crisis affected my business a lot because of the lack of money. The customers don't come. They don't come, so there are only few customers because of the lack of money. People don't have money, and the country is not working.
250 kilometers north of Bamako, in Segu, Modibo Balo stands beside his brightly painted panas, a wooden boat handcrafted with a swooping wicker canopy. Segu is the capital of the ancient Bambara kingdom and the start of the tourism trail in Mali. From here, tourists can travel down the river through the arid lands of Mali to Mopti and Gao, finally reaching the magical and historic region of Timbuktu. Modibo Balo has been taking tourists out on the wide, stretching Niger River for more than 12 years.
And how many tourists have you had in your boat today?
Today we didn't get any tourists.
And yesterday?
Yesterday, no tourists.
So when was the last time you had a big group of tourists?
Last time it was in the last February. From that time to now, there is not any tourists who's coming here now.
It's a similar story all over Segu. Hotels are laying off staff or closing down altogether. Boutique riverside restaurants are empty. And the tourist guides and craft sellers sit around drinking green tea with little to do. Ousmane Agrissa is the Minister of Handicrafts and Tourism in Mali.
The impact is a pretty severe one because the tourism companies have hugely suffered from the effects of the crisis. Since there are no more tourists coming, there is no income generation. The guides aren't working anymore because there are no tourists to guide.
Tourism is Mali's third biggest revenue generator. Coupled with widespread job losses, as well as the rising food and gas prices, the impact of the crisis is affecting everyone all over the country. Back in the capital, many, like Dalla, are pinning their hopes on outside help, be it negotiations or military intervention, something to give them belief that these hard times will not last forever.
I just want the international community to help Mali because Malian people need their help and they have to help us.
For DW, this is Tamasin Ford in Bamako, Mali.